Blog Talk Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Empowering Family Care Caregiver Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Meghna Rao, your host for today's show, sponsored by ecarediary.com. Today we will talk about caregiving for Lewy body dementia, and to help shed light on this Lewy body dementia, I'm very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Angela Taylor. Angela is the director of programs for the Lewy Body Association. In 2004, she joined LBDA. A member of LBDA's board of directors when she was a caregiver for her father who suffered from the same disease. Angela currently oversees all of LBDA's programs and services and serves as the liaison to the Scientific Advisory Council. Angela, thank you so much for programs and services and serves as the liaison to the Scientific Advisory Council. Angela, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Meghna. I'm so delighted to be here.
So let's just get right to it. We have a lot of questions.
Thank you, Meghna. I'm so delighted to be here.
So let's just get right to it. We have a lot of questions for you on this aspect of dementia, which I'm sure not many people have heard of. I personally did not know much about this, and when I read about it, I was astounded as to the implications and the prognosis for this kind of disease. So I'm sure our audience members are very keen to get as much information as possible. So let's just start with the basics. What is Lewy body dementia? Could you explain what it is about?
I'll be happy to. Lewy body dementia, or LBD.
Lewy body dementia. Could you explain what it is about?
I'll be happy to. Lewy body dementia, or LBD, is a memory disorder. And like other disorders, like Alzheimer's, it's progressive. LBD affects a number of areas of a person's ability, not just limiting to memory or thinking, but also to their ability. To move, to their behavior, and their sleep. It's the second most common form of dementia, and it affects their behavior and their sleep. About 1.3 million people in America. So it is not a rare disorder. It is just about 1.3 million people in America. So it is not a rare disorder. It is just not as well diagnosed, and it hasn't reached public awareness levels yet.
So why is it that we...
As well diagnosed, and it hasn't reached public awareness levels yet.
So why is it that we, haven't heard so much about this particular disease? Because dementia is, something that every person, young or old, or, whether with family or single or married or unmarried, everyone's aware of dementia, and it's something that people are old, whether with family or single or married or unmarried, everyone's aware of dementia, and it's something that people are seriously taking notice of. But Lewy body dementia is something that is still a new concept or a new seriously taking notice of. But Lewy body dementia is something that is still um, a new concept or a new kind of disease for people. Why is that?
Well, you know, most people, when they think of dementia, they think of Alzheimer's disease. What most people don't realize is there's many causes of dementia. Some of them are curable and some of them are progressive and incurable. Lewy body dementia really hasn't come to prominence compared to Alzheimer's disease. For a couple of reasons. One, it's a much younger disease as far as the science goes. It really wasn't well described for a couple of reasons. One, it's a much younger disease as far as the science goes. It really wasn't well described in the literature until the 1980s and 90s. In fact, the first diagnostic criteria that the research community agreed to were until the 1980s and 90s. In fact, the first diagnostic criteria that the research was published in 1996. But Lewy bodies aren't a new the agreed to was published in 1996. But Lewy bodies aren't a new concept. A Lewy body is actually a protein deposit in the brain, and these little protein deposits were discovered as a concept. Back in the early 1900s by Dr. Friedrich Lewy, and he was actually looking at the brains of people with Parkinson's, after they had passed away. He was doing brain autopsies, and he found these little protein deposits that later Parkinson's disease, after they had passed away, he was doing brain autopsies, and he found these little protein deposits that later became known as Lewy bodies. It took a long time for the research community to really be able to understand the full became known as Lewy bodies. scope of how prevalent these Lewy bodies are in other disorders. And as I said, as new techniques became scope of how prevalent these Lewy bodies are in other disorders. And as I said, as new techniques became available in the late 20th century, then diagnosis began to rise and the literature became available in the late 20th century, then diagnosis began to rise and the literature became more clear about what diseases were related to these protein deposits. So here we are in 2013, and it still hasn't reached public awareness levels yet, but it is gaining prominence. Specialty physicians like neurology and psychiatry. We still have a long way to go to it's now among specialty physicians like neurology and psychiatry. We still have a long way to go to have it really rise up to the level of common top-of-mind thinking among primary health care providers.
Now, what are the key differences, are the symptoms of LBD similar to those of other? Is it a completely different kind of disease?
Well, biologically, it's a different disease. They have different structural changes in the brain caused or related to different proteins that are in the body. So biologically, they're different structural changes in the brain caused or related to different proteins that are in the body. So biologically, they're, but they do have some symptoms that overlap. Alzheimer's disease and Lewy body dementia are both progressive dementias, and so they're different. But they do have some symptoms that overlap. Alzheimer's disease and Lewy body dementia are both progressive dementias, and so they both feature changes in thinking and memory. But even within the area of cognition, there are different modes feature changes in thinking and memory. But even within the area of cognition, there are different. Somebody with Lewy body dementia will early on in their disease have much more prominent losses in this. Somebody with Lewy body dementia will early on in their disease have much more prominent losses in the ability to think and consider thoughts that are abstract or do problem solving, the ability to think and consider thoughts that are abstract or do problem solving. These, what we call executive functions, decline very early in Lewy body dementia. But in Alzheimer's disease, what you might see more early, these, what we call executive functions, decline very early in Lewy body dementia. But in Alzheimer's disease, what you might see more early in the disorder are memory loss. Early short-term memory loss is the hallmark of Alzheimer's disease, are memory loss. Early short-term memory loss is the hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. But in Lewy body dementia, really memory loss is not prominent at the beginning. It does develop as the disease progresses, but not disease. But in Lewy body dementia, really memory loss is not prominent at the beginning. It does develop as the disease progresses, but not necessarily to the same degree as in Alzheimer's disease. But what's really different about Lewy body dementia is that it's a much more complex disorder to the same degree as in Alzheimer's disease. But what's really different about Lewy body dementia is that it's a much more complex it affects far more than just thinking. People with LBD also have changes in movement that resemble Parkinson's disorder. It affects far more than just thinking. People with LBD also have changes in movement that resemble Parkinson's disease. So they might move more slowly. They might have muscle stiffness or rigidity. They might have tremor, which will resemble Parkinson's disease, and that generally that tremor appears when they are making intentional, which will resemble Parkinson's disease, and that generally that tremor appears when they are making intentional movement with their, say, their arm, for example. If they're picking up a pen, you might notice a tremor in the hand. Compared to essential tremor, where you might notice a tremor when the hand is at rest. But these tremors can happen in the limbs. To essential tremor, where you might notice a tremor when the hand is at rest. But these tremors can happen in the limbs. People with LBD also have what's called fluctuating cognition. And that's a little bit hard to describe. People with LBD also have what's called fluctuating cognition. And that's a little bit hard to describe, but it includes changes in their levels of attention and alertness. They might not have the same functional ability from their cognitive standpoint from day to day or even hour to hour. I remember when my dad was early in his disorder, I couldn't predict one day from the next whether he would be able to zip his coat up or not. Because some days he could figure it out and other days he just couldn't. So fluctuating cognition is more unique to LBD because some days he could figure it out and other days he just couldn't. In addition, we also have changes in sleep. sleep disorders are very common in LBD, not so much so in Alzheimer's. But in addition, we also have changes in sleep. Sleep disorders are very common in LBD, not so much so in Alzheimer's disease. And there's a medication sensitivity that people with Alzheimer's don't have that's very important and specifically. And there's a medication sensitivity that people with Alzheimer's don't have that's very important and specifically. We feel people with LBD need to get an early diagnosis that identifies what form of dementia that they have. People with LBD cannot take some of the same medications that people with Alzheimer's might be able to take for behavioral changes. And LBD cannot take some of the same medications that people with Alzheimer's might be able to take for behavioral changes. And the reasons that's so important is that one of the hallmarks of LBD are visual hallucinations, but you can't treat those visual hallucinations. But one of the reasons that's so important is that one of the hallmarks of LBD are visual hallucinations, but you can't treat those visual hallucinations with the same medications that you might be able to treat it with in Alzheimer's disease, because there are some distinct sensitivities. So same medication you might be able to treat it with in Alzheimer's disease, because there are some distinct sensitivities. So managing those medications is kind of a fine balancing act in LBD. But LBD also affects one other area of managing those medications is kind of a fine balancing act in LBD. But LBD also affects one other area of the body, and that's the automated nervous system or the autonomic nervous system. So blood pressure and digestion regulation all can have some form of dysfunction. So you can see it's cognition, it's movement and temperature regulation all can have some form of dysfunction. So you can see it's cognition, it's movement, it's behavior, it's the internal systems in the body. It's a fairly complex disorder.
Right.
It seems, I
know, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's, these are all extremely scary propositions to think about. And, you know, people who are faced with having to care for someone with these diseases, it's a frightening concept, but it seems like, Lewy body is even slightly more scarier because there are a lot of these symptoms which are not apparent right away. Just like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Am I right?
You know, having lived it from the personal side, it seems like
Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Am I right?
You know, having lived it from the personal side, it seems disorder for a loved one to have. None of these disorders are easy, though. Alzheimer's is devastating to the schizo, worst disorder for a loved one to have. None of these disorders are easy, though. Alzheimer's is devastating to the families. And so, you know, I hate to say one is better or worse than the other. They all are very awful. But LBD seems to have a much more families, and so a complex clinical course and a treatment course.
Right.
And so there are some unique challenges that families will face with it.
Seems like it.
You know, I hate to say one is better or worse than the other. They all are very awful. But LBD seems to have a much more complex clinical course and a treatment course.
Right.
And so there are some unique challenges that families will face with it.
Seems like it. So I'm assuming the treatment would be different from Alzheimer's disease, or would it be the same?
Well, some treatments are the same. For example, people with LBD take the same medications for the memory loss and the cognition than people with Alzheimer's.
I'm assuming the treatment would be different from Alzheimer's disease, or would it be the same?
Well, some treatments are the same. For example, people with LBD take the same medications for the memory loss and the cognition than people with Alzheimer's disease will take. For the Parkinsonism, there is a common treatment between LBD and Parkinson's disease, but some Parkinson's medications for the movement symptoms might actually make their hallucinations worse, and so Alzheimer's disease will take. For the Parkinsonism, there is a common treatment between LBD and Parkinson's disease, but some Parkinson's medications for the movement symptoms might actually make their hallucinations worse. And so, again, you have to be careful which Parkinson's medications you might treat the person with LBD with. I mentioned the medication sensitivity, especially to behavioral medications. Medications used to treat hallucinations are called antipsychotics. Again, you have to be careful which Parkinson's medications you might treat the person with LBD with. I mentioned the medication sensitivity, especially to behavioral medications. Medications used to treat hallucinations are called antipsychotic medications, and they were originally designed for psychiatric disorders. But a person with LBD is likely to be extremely sensitive, and they might have increased confusion, sleepiness, medications, and they were originally designed for psychiatric disorders. But a person with LBD is likely to be extremely sensitive, and they might have increased confusion, sleepiness, changes in movement, they might become more stiff and rigid, and they are also at risk for a dangerous condition called neuroleptic malignant syndrome. And somebody with Alzheimer's disease does not have that same degree of medication sensitivity. So changes in movement, they might become more stiff and rigid, and they are also at risk for a dangerous condition called neuroleptic malignant syndrome. And somebody with Alzheimer's disease does not have that same degree of medication sensitivity. So the dance to manage visual hallucinations, delusions, and behavioral changes in Lewy body dementia is much more carefully done, really a far more restricted, I think, number of medications that you can dance to manage visual hallucinations, delusions, and behavioral changes in Lewy body dementia is much more carefully done, really a far more restricted, I think, number of medications that you can use to minimize the risk of medication sensitivities in LBD than you might have in Alzheimer's.
I see. Are there any other factors, to which this disease is different from Alzheimer's? Any other
To minimize the risk of medication sensitivities in LBD than you might have in Alzheimer's.
I see. Are there any other factors, to which this disease is different from Alzheimer's? Any other important aspects that we should know about?
Well, I think understanding that LBD affects more functional areas of a person's life, that the treatments are a little bit different, and understanding, too, that they are different biological processes.
Important aspects that we should know about?
Well, I think understanding that LBD affects more functional areas of a person's life, that the treatments are a little bit different, and understanding, too, that they are different biological processes, I mean, that really covers the basis. We are just now looking at how the disease affects caregivers. And we are seeing some differences. You know, the Lewy Body Dementia Association has undertaken a number of surveys of the Lewy Body Dementia. I mean, that really covers the basis. We are just now looking at how the disease affects caregivers. And we are seeing some differences. You know, the Lewy Body Dementia Association has undertaken a number of surveys of the Lewy body dementia caregiver community and understanding some of the specific challenges that they have. Some of that data hasn't been published yet, so we're still kind of putting the picture together, but it looks like even from a caregiving standpoint that the impact of these diseases are different caregiver community and understanding some of the specific challenges that they have. Some of that data hasn't been published yet, so we're still kind of putting the picture together, but it looks like even from a caregiving standpoint that the impact of these diseases are different on the caregivers.
of course. I understand now that you've explained, you know, the key characteristics of LBD. It does seem, like you said, it's a different set of challenges for caregivers. So it's good to know
on the caregivers.
Of course. The differences. Now, could you also take us through how LBD is related to Parkinson's?
Certainly. Well, just like I said, that the biological process is different between Alzheimer's disease and Lewy body dementia. With
the differences. Now, could you also take us through how LBD is related to Parkinson's?
Certainly. Well, just like I said, that the biological process is different between Alzheimer's disease and Lewy body dementia. With Parkinson's disease, it's the same biological process, but in different parts of the brain when the disease starts. So the hallmark in the brain of Parkinson's disease is the presence of Lewy bodies. But in Parkinson's disease, they tend to start in the motor control area. Parkinson's disease, it's the same biological process, but in different parts of the brain when the disease starts. So the hallmark in the brain of Parkinson's disease is the presence of Lewy bodies. But in Parkinson's disease, they tend to start in the motor control area and the brain stem, and then they spread more to the outer layers of the brain called the cortex. With dementia with Lewy bodies, which is the clinical name for somebody who's diagnosed with a dementia that starts in the brain stem, and then they spread more to the outer layers of the brain called the cortex. With dementia with Lewy bodies, which is the clinical name for somebody who's diagnosed with a dementia that starts and later develops movement symptoms related to Lewy bodies, that starts in the outer layers of the brain, the cortex, and then moves slowly towards the brainstem. So it's the same process, but they kind of start in different places. But as both Parkinson's later develops movement symptoms related to Lewy bodies, that starts in the outer layers of the brain, the cortex, and then moves slowly towards the brainstem. So it's the same process, but they kind of start in different places. But as both Parkinson's and LBD progress, they start to look clinically much more like each other. So they both have movement symptoms. They both have cognitive symptoms, behavioral changes, autonomic system changes, because the underlying disease pathology and LBD progress. They start to look clinically much more like each other. So they both have movement symptoms. They both have cognitive symptoms, behavioral changes, autonomic system changes, because the underlying disease pathology is the same, and as the disease is progressed, then some of the same areas of the brain are being affected. And upon autopsy, the brains of people with end-stage Parkinson's disease with dementia, because people with Parkinson's is the same, and as the disease is progressed, then some of the same areas of the brain are being affected. And upon autopsy, the brains of people with end-stage Parkinson's disease with dementia, because people with Parkinson's, many of them, as they're older adults with Parkinson's, most of those people will eventually develop cognitive impairment and dementia. Those people's mm-hmm. brains will look almost indistinguishable to the brains of people with dementia with Lewy bodies. And so we basically, the community has agreed that Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia are a spectrum disorder. They're biologically related. They start in different places, but they have the same underpinnings from a pathology standpoint.
I see. Now, when someone...
Research community has agreed that Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia are a spectrum disorder. They're biologically related. They start in different places, but they have the same underpinnings from a pathology standpoint.
I see. Now, when someone is said to have Lewy body, how would the disease progress within that person? Could you take us through some of the stages?
Well, yeah, I wish I could, honestly.
People is said to have Lewy body, how would the disease progress within that person? Could you take us through some of the stages?
Well, yeah, I wish I could, honestly. People with dementia do not have the same predictable disease path that people with Alzheimer's do. Because LBD might start with any one of the different symptoms that I discussed at the beginning. So in my father's case, one of his earliest symptoms, Lewy body dementia do not have the same predictable disease path that people with Alzheimer's do. Because LBD might start with any one of the different symptoms that I discussed at the beginning. So in my father's case, one of his earliest symptoms, REM, sleep behavior disorder. And that's a sleep disorder in which a person physically is moving about in their dreams, where when you and I go to sleep, our body basically is immobilized and we don't physically act those dreams out. But my father did. So it was REM, sleep behavior disorder. And that's a sleep disorder in which a person physically is moving about in their dreams, where when you and I go to sleep, our body basically is immobilized and we don't physically act those dreams out. But my father did. So presented with one symptom. Somebody else might present initially with cognitive changes and visual hallucinations, while another person might present with Parkinson's disease that later progresses to dementia. And so because presented with one symptom, somebody else might present initially with cognitive changes and visual hallucinations, while another person might present with Parkinson's disease that later progresses to dementia. And so because all are related and they're all considered Lewy body dementia, there's no one consistent path of progression. As in all progressive disorders, you know, there's a mild stage, there's a moderate. All are related and they're all considered Lewy body dementia. There's no one consistent path of progression. But we can't predict what symptom clusters people might have within those stages. We know in the early stage of LBD, most people are going out trying to seek a diagnosis. They're generally living a relatively good quality of life. There's an advanced stage, but we can't predict what symptom clusters people might have within those stages. We know in the early stage of LBD, most people are going out trying to seek a diagnosis. They're generally living a relatively good quality of life, do quite a lot of things for themselves. But as the disease progresses beyond the first year or two, they become more dependent on other people for help, and they start to lose the ability to manage all of the aspects of their lives that they used to. Are able to do quite a lot of things for themselves, but as the disease progresses beyond the first year or two, they become more able to do some things for themselves, but they might start having problems getting dressed, for example, understanding how a person gets dressed and on other people for help, and they start to lose the ability to manage all of the aspects of their lives that they used to. A sequence of activities involved in that might become more than they can put together in their mind. So able to do some things for themselves, but they might start having problems getting dressed, for example, understanding how a person gets dressed. As the disease progresses, they slowly become more dependent on other people. Behavioral changes and challenges, a sequence of activities involved in that might become more than they can put together in their mind. So tend to be more problematic in the middle stage of the disease when it's at a kind of a moderate level of severity. And then as the disease progresses, they slowly become more dependent on other people. Behavioral changes, challenges advance to the late stage of LBD, then they physically really become more weaker, tend to be more, they lose muscle strength, they're losing weight, they do not have their robust health that they might have had at the early part of the disease. Problematic in the middle stage of the disease when it's at a kind of a moderate level of severity. And then as people advance to the late stage of LBD, then they physically really become more, and like with Alzheimer's, like with Parkinson's, eventually a person with LBD is going to be very dependent on other people for even the most basic levels of care.
I see. So when it comes to that, you know, when it comes to that stage, or even
weakened, they lose muscle strength, they're losing weight, they do not have their robust health that they might have had at the early part of the disease.
At the stage when you find that someone you love has been diagnosed with Lewy body, what are the kind of resources?
And like with Alzheimer's, like with Parkinson's, eventually a person with LBD is going to be very dependent on other people for
that. We should know that, you know, we need to be prepared for.
That's a great question. And I wish somebody had those basic levels of care.
I see. So when it comes to that, you know, when it comes to that stage, or even
been able to tell me when my father was diagnosed, what I was going to need to navigate the course of that of the next 5 to 8 years.
At the stage when you find that someone you love has been diagnosed with Lewy body, what are the kind of resources?
And at that time, really, it was. There weren't that many resources, so I'm so happy
that we should know that, you know, we need to be prepared for.
That's a great question. And I wish somebody in these families, now that they are getting diagnoses more reliably, that there is a whole host of resources available to them. First and foremost, being able to tell me when my father was diagnosed what I was going to need to navigate the course of that. Of the next 5 to 8 years, LB families need to become very knowledgeable about the disease. So that's always where I start, is they need to find a source. And at that time, really, it was there weren't that many resources. So I'm so happy for the information about LBD, about what types of symptoms they need to report to their doctor. They need to become nowadays families, now that they are getting diagnoses more reliably, that there is a whole host of resources available to them. First and foremost, it'll be about the types of medications that are used in the disorder, because honestly, not all physicians are as knowledgeable as we would like them. Families need to become very knowledgeable about the disease. So that's always where I start, is they need to find a source, especially at the primary care level. So having a neurologist on your team from a clinical information about LBD, about what types of symptoms they need to report to their doctor, they need to become knowledgeable, standpoint is about very, very helpful. So resources like the Lewy Body Dementia Association have lots of educational information about types of medications that are used in the disorder, because honestly, not all physicians are as knowledgeable as we would like them to be. So that's where we always encourage people to start, with learning about the disease. The other important thing that they need to develop is a community, especially at the primary care level. So having a neurologist on your team from a clinical support around them. And that can include their family, their friends, their coworkers, if they are, is very, very helpful. So resources like the Lewy Body Dementia Association have lots of educational information about if they have a religious organization they're involved with, that might include their church or their synagogue. But there's no BD, so that's where we always encourage people to start, with learning about the disease. The other important thing that they need to develop is a community, like having a community of people who know what it's like to be a caregiver for a person with this particular disorder, having support around them. And that can include their family, their friends, their coworkers, if they are, having a group of people who intuitively understand what you have gone through is, and if they have a religious organization they're involved with, that might include their church or their synagogue. But there's incredibly helpful, because the emotional journey that caregivers go on is fairly thing, like having a community of people who know what it's like to be a caregiver for a person with this particular disorder. Having difficult, there's a lot of worry about, am I doing the right thing? What should I be expecting to see at this, sorry for this, this cough. Having a group of people who intuitively understand what you have gone through, is time of the disease, what do I do when this behavior might occur? So having a host, incredibly helpful, because the emotional journey that caregivers go on is fairly good. Caregivers that you can rely on is really important. And that's something that we have developed at the LBDA, is we have a number of ways difficult. There's a lot of worry about, am I doing the right thing? What should I be expecting to see at this, that LBD families can connect with other families. They can do it online through social media or through our, at this time of the disease. What do I do when this behavior might occur? So having a host discussion forum, we have an online community. They can do it face-to-face in support groups. We have volunteers who run support groups with caregivers in different towns and cities across the country. And we also have a peer-to-peer resource where they can call, can rely on, is really important. And that's something that we have developed at the LBDA, is we have a number of ways that LBD families can connect with other families. They can do it online through social media or through our, and we will refer a family caregiver who's a volunteer with LBDA to call them back or to email them so that they can just kind of talk on a one-to-one basis with someone. Mm-hmm. So knowledge and support, those are your two core things. But there's a lot of community resource and forum. We have an online community. They can do it face-to-face in support groups. We have volunteers who run support groups in different towns and cities across the country. And we also have a peer-to-peer resource where they can call that people should know about as well. We encourage families to start looking in their communities for the resources that they are going to need, even when those resources might be a year or two or 3 years away from when they actually need them. So, and we will refer a family caregiver who's a volunteer with LBDA to call them back or to email them so that they can just kind of talk on a one-to-one basis with someone. Mm-hmm. So knowledge and support, those are your two core things. But there's a lot of community resources. Looking at whether there are home health agencies who can come in and provide some caregiving assistance on a part-time basis is a good resource. As the disease progresses, we find that some families find respite care that people should know about as well. We encourage families to start looking in their communities for the resources that they are going to need, even when those resources might be a year or two or 3 years away from when they actually need them. So adult day services, very, very helpful, so that they can, their loved one with LBD has an outside place that they can go to and spend some quality time with professionals who understand LBD, at whether there are home health agencies who can come in and provide some caregiving assistance on a part-time basis is a good resource. As the disease progresses, we find that some families find respite care. People who are functioning at the same level that they are, from social and activity levels, it gives them kind of a level playing field to engage with people on, and it gives them fresh faces to interact with. So, you know, making sure that the adult day services, very, very helpful, so that they can, their loved one with LBD has an outside place that they can go to and spend some quality time with professionals who understand LBD, and with LBD has social stimulation and support that's appropriate for their level of ability is important. As the disease progresses, people also need long-term care sometimes. There are situations where the family, people who are functioning at the same level that they are, from social and activity levels, it gives them kind of a level playing field to engage with people on, and it gives them fresh faces to interact with. So, you know, making sure that they be able to care for the person at home any longer. And so they should look at their community and see what those long-term care resources are now, not when they're in a crisis time. But there's also agencies that they should be turning to, like the Area Agency on Aging with LBD has social stimulation and support that's appropriate for their level of ability is important. As the disease progresses, people also need long-term care sometimes. There are situations where the family may, who can connect them with services that are state and federally funded that might be helpful to them. So be able to. We always encourage families to, you know, look at national organizations like LBDA, but also to look in their community to see care for the person at home any longer. And so they should look at their community and see what those long-term care resources are now, not when they're in a crisis time. But there's also agencies that they should be turning to, like the Area Agency on Aging, what services they might be utilizing as the disease progresses to make their journey a little bit easier.
Those are great resources you've just mentioned, Angela. And I'm, you know, I was actually scribbling all this down furiously for a friend of mine.
Who can connect them with services that are state and federally funded that might be helpful to them? So we always encourage families to, you know, look at national organizations like LBDA, but also to look in their community to see
who, you know, would really, really have been desperately looking for information and not being able to find anything. So thank you so much for all of that. We have time for one last question, which is about, you know, we just wanted to know what services
they might be utilizing as the disease progresses to make their journey a little bit easier.
Those are great resources you've just mentioned, Angela. And I'm, you know, I was actually scribbling all this down furiously for a friend of mine. The Lewy Body Dementia Association provides for families affected by LBD.
Great question. So I'll go through a couple of them, but I'll also talk about some things that families can do to kind of take action on them.
Who, you know, would really, really have been desperately looking for information and not being able to find anything. So thank you so much for all of that. We have time for one last question, which is about, you know, we just wanted to know what services does
own in their communities, because as much as we need support, we also gain support when we're empowered to take action. So, you know, I talked about a couple of things that LBD has for families, such as a network of support groups, our online communities, the LBD.
The Lewy Body Dementia Association provides for families affected by LBD.
Great question. So I'll go through a couple of them, but I'll also talk about some things that families can do to kind of take action on the caregiver link where they can talk one-to-one or email an LBD caregiver. But we have webinars that we offer. People can subscribe to our e-newsletter and receive announcements about new educational resources when they come out. For example, we just partnered with our own in their communities because as much as we need support, we also gain support when we're empowered to take action. So, you know, I talked about a couple of things that LBD has for families, such as a network of support groups, our online communities, the LBD National Institute on Aging, and the National Institute on Neurological Disorders and Strokes, on a new booklet on LBD. And that isn't quite caregiverly yet, but that'll be a 40-page booklet for families about the disorder, which will be nice. But we also just created where they can talk one-to-one or email an LBD caregiver. But we have webinars that we offer. People can subscribe to our e-newsletter and receive announcements about new educational resources when they come out. For example, we just partnered with two new checklists, and these are wonderful resources both for the family and for their healthcare provider. One is a diagnostic checklist. The people can download and see, oh my gosh, how many of these symptoms might my family member who has some kind of memory impairment going on actually have? Institute on Aging and the National Institute on Neurological Disorders and Strokes on a new booklet on LBD. And that isn't quite ready yet, but that'll be a 40-page booklet for families about the disorder, which will be nice. But we also just created a checklist to my doctor and say, this is what's going on. Might this be LBD? So the Diagnostic Symptom Checklist is a great new resource. We also created a comprehensive symptom checklist for those who are already diagnosed with LBD. And whether they started with checklists, and these are wonderful resources both for the family and for their healthcare provider. One is a diagnostic checklist. The people can download and see, oh my gosh, how many of these symptoms might my family member who has some kind of memory impairment going on actually have, Parkinson's, or they started with dementia. This checklist will give them a long list of symptoms that they should be reporting to their doctor and help make sure that they're getting comprehensive care for the different areas of the person's life that are being impacted by the disease. I can take that checklist to my doctor and say, this is what's going on. Might this be LBD? So the Diagnostic Symptom Checklist is a great resource. We also created a comprehensive symptom checklist for those who are already diagnosed with LBD. And whether they started with educational resources, our website is a wonderful source of articles and publications. And then the last thing, like I said, is engaging the LBD community itself is a tremendous way to give people the confidence, or they started with dementia. This checklist will give them a long list of symptoms that they should be reporting to their doctor and help make sure that they're getting comprehensive care for the different areas of the person's life that are being impacted by the disease, to navigate the healthcare system and to talk about the disease in a knowledgeable way. So I want to share that this month is LBD Awareness Month. We have made that designation ourselves, and we are mobilizing families across the country in their communities to raise public awareness. So we have families who are organized. So educational resources, our website is a wonderful source of articles and publications. And then the last thing, like I said, is engaging the LBD community itself is a tremendous way to give people the confidence, educational events and fundraising events, telling their stories to the media, getting proclamations signed by local and state government bodies, anything that actually allows them to shine a light on LBD to their kids to navigate the healthcare system and to talk about the disease in a knowledgeable way. So I want to share that this month is LBD Awareness Month. We have made that designation ourselves, and we are mobilizing families across the country in their communities to raise public awareness. So we have families who are organized. Unity really helps broaden their own support network and help them realize they're not alone, and that it puts a face to the disease in the public eye. And that is incredibly helpful to these families. So, educational events and fundraising events, telling their stories to the media, getting proclamations signed by local and state government bodies, anything that actually allows them to shine a light on LBD to their community involved with LBDA as a volunteer, I would say, is an equally important part of Navigunity, really helps broaden their own support network and help them realize they're not alone.
That's fantastic, Angela. Thank you for listing all these resources. And,
and that it puts a face to the disease in the public eye. And that is incredibly helpful to these families. So,
it's good to know that there is help for people who may not have been, who are not in close association with this disease.
Involved with the LBDA as a volunteer, I would say, is an equally important part of Navigate.
Good to know that there is information out there. We would love to have you back on our show very soon. That's fantastic, Angela. Thank you for listing all these resources. And it's an absolute pleasure having you as a guest. I want to let our audience members know that you can learn more about LBDA, and it's good to know that there is help for people who may not have been, who are not in close association with this disease, through the website, which is www.lbda.org. That's, once again, it's just good to know that there is information out there. We would love to have you back on our show very soon. And I can repeat that. It's www.lbda.org. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in. It's an absolute pleasure having you as a guest. I want to let our audience members know that you can learn more about LBDA and Anaheim on Tuesday, October 22nd at 2 p.m. Eastern for our show with Melissa Tan, founder of Tan Helper Taylor, through the website, which is www.lbda.org. That's, once again, consulting and author of the Personal Healthcare Passport about savvy traveling tips for seniors. To learn more about eCare Diary, and I'll have to repeat that, it's www.lbda.org. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in. And shows, visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your bonus next time on Tuesday, October 22nd at 2 p.m. Eastern for our show with Melissa Tan, founder of Tan Healthcare Diary Tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And my Twitter address is ecare_diary. Consulting. Thank you once again, Angela, and thank you everyone for tuning in today. Have a great day. And author of the Personal Healthcare Passport about savvy traveling tips for seniors. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal. Care Diary tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and my Twitter address is ecare_diary. Thank you once again, Angela, and thank you everyone for tuning in today. Have a great day.